Well, by way of water, our history with Lake Superior is a new exhibit at the Cook County Historical Museum in Grand Marais that just opened this week. It shares the story of how the lake shaped the people and communities of our region. The director of the museum, Carrie McHugh, is here with us to tell us more. Hi, Carrie.
Hi there.
Thank you for being here on a Friday night.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Well, I went and looked at the exhibit yesterday, and I was just so impressed. I have a million things to ask you. So anyway, first of all, why did you decide on this particular topic for an exhibit?
Well, truthfully, we were inspired by an acquisition. We have on loan the Fresnel lens from the Grand Marais Lighthouse, so that was a big inspiration for creating an exhibit around that beautiful piece. But also because we're housed in the lighthouse keeper's residence, it was time for a good quality maritime exhibit.
Good point. Now, you mentioned you just acquired the Fresnel, that's how you say it?
Right, yeah.
That's good. I've spelled it a million times, but I've never said it out loud, so good to know. How did you acquire that? And then tell us about how you put the whole thing together.
Yeah, the Coast Guard contacted us and let us know that they were going to be upgrading the lighthouse and would no longer be needing the Fresnel lens, this historic lens that had been there for 100 years, and wondered if we wanted it on loan from them. And they love to keep the lenses and pieces close to their original spot. So we, of course, said, we'd love that. And so that happened actually in September of 2012.
Okay, so almost 2 years ago.
Right.
And I have to say, it looked, you know, to my untrained eye, to be in really good shape.
No, we had a lampist come in, and that is someone who is very trained and specializes in taking care of lighthouses and lenses. And he said, in fact, it is in great shape. It's missing one prism. It was polished so well so many times that there is some scratching on the lens or on the prisms themselves, but otherwise in really great shape.
Wow, that's great. So you acquired that and then you thought, hey, let's build an exhibit around
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
So what are you trying to convey with this whole exhibit?
One of the main messages we want people to get is that when life depended on Lake Superior as it did before 1928, when the highway was built to this area, that it was a different place. And people really depended on each other. And when the boat came, that was a really big deal. So it shaped our communities in that sense. It was isolated, but people really depended on one another.
Mm-hmm. And on the boats.
And the boats.
Yeah. Right? I
mean, and their own little boats as well.
Definitely. Well, I thought there were really a number of cool features in the exhibit that I really enjoyed. Besides the Fresnel lens, there's an interactive multimedia exhibit. There's the wheel from the Steamship America. Right? Steamship?
Yep, that's right.
And there's lots of other things. Tell us a little bit about what you think are the highlights of the exhibit.
Yeah, the objects that we have in some ways are few in the exhibit, but they're dramatic. The lens, the wheel from the Steamer America is a 6-foot diameter wheel that was taken off the shipwreck. And so then that's got its own story about the families who went out there and retrieved that before the America was totally sunk. And we've got a beautiful old birch bark canoe that was made by a family up in the Gunflint area. And so those, for objects, there's some beautiful things. We've got Coast Guard uniforms that belong to Ray Nagy. And then the multimedia pieces kind of stand on their own. You could spend a couple hours, if you wanted to, just going through our photo slideshows, our audio and video pieces. The Lutefisk Hotel, the group of Norwegians who've been around, some people may have met, they create a beautiful multimedia interactive that's like nothing I've seen before. It's got video, it's got audio, it's got photographs. They did interviews with local people, and they used audio clips from people who have since gone. And it's, you could spend hours with that alone.
Mm-hmm. I like how they had it set up to enter it. They have a picture of Isle Royal with different drawings of people and animals and objects, and you can click on different ones to get different stories.
Right. I like their cartoon map.
Yeah, really clever. And speaking of maps, I wanted to get back to the interactive exhibit, but that reminds me, there's some interesting maps on that center table in the room. You talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, well, that's sort of our last piece developing, the center table. We will be having in the middle of a room a custom-made table in the shape of a skiff. So that's sort of the, if you already have come back and see the skiff table. And then we'll have charts and shipwreck maps and just different, it sort of remains to be seen exactly what will be there. But mostly we wanted to feature charts, being it's a maritime theme.
Mm-hmm. That's great. The interactive exhibit, I listened to several of the pieces, and the one that just really moved me to tears actually was the Helmer Akvik story. Could you talk a little bit about that story and about his, you know, his, the incident that happened with him, but also about close calls? I understand that you've studied that in detail.
Yes. Well, on our interactive component, we've actually featured two particular interviews. One was done by Venture North. They interviewed Helmer Akvik himself, and he is then able to tell his version of the story. The short version is Helmer Akvik received a Carnegie Medal of Heroism because he went out in the middle of a storm to try to rescue another fisherman who had gone out and hadn't returned. So, but besides that, we wanted to tell the story of that young fisherman who went out as well, and that was Carl Hammer. He was never found. Helmer Akvik was rescued by the U.S. Coast Guard, and in addition, we wanted to tell the Coast Guard story and had an interview with Ray Nagy, who was in the Coast Guard. So we wanted to get a few perspectives on that story because it's such an important piece of our history, and I know locally a lot of people know it, but throughout the region, I'm not sure how many people understand how important it was that someone receive that heroism medal. He was out in a storm for 28 hours,
quite an honor.
Searching for his fellow fishermen, and that was just a matter of course for him.
Right. Was that in the late 50s, Carrie?
Yeah, 1958.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah, it was just a very powerful story. I guess the thing that struck me was back then, in general, things were just riskier. And, you know, people lived closer to the edge. There wasn't as much...
Maybe so, and they looked out for each other.
Yeah,
and it really was not uncommon for a fisherman to go out in dangerous conditions to try to help someone out.
Interesting. You also, I know that you mentioned before we went on the air that you have studied close calls in general.
Can you
tell us a little bit about that? That sounds fascinating.
It is fascinating. I did my thesis research on close calls and interviewed people about their experiences or loved ones' experiences running into danger out on Lake Superior. And this was specific to commercial fishing. I was working at the Tofte Fishing Museum and just learned a lot about the dangers of Lake Superior, especially when you're in a 16-foot wooden skiff, and sometimes without a motor even.
Right. Interesting. So that must have informed how you set up this exhibit then.
Absolutely. I really wanted to make sure, well, just in general, I think we need to understand that the people in those days were very, very intelligent, very experienced people. So yeah, there were a lot more dangers, but they also had a lot more inner drive, inner knowledge to get them through those dangers. And a lot of times they made it back. Sometimes they didn't, unfortunately. But a lot of times they used their ingenuity and created an anchor out of a fish box or, you know, did these amazing things just to make it through a storm.
If you just joined us, we're speaking with Carrie McHugh. She's the director of the Cook County Historical Museum here in Grand Marais, and they have an exhibit that opened just this week called By Way of Water, Our History with Lake Superior. Very, very cool exhibit. Carrie, how long is the exhibit on display? How many weeks or months or?
Or years.
Oh, okay, so there's not an end date right now?
We don't have an end date right now.
That's great.
It's in a great room right on the East Bay of Lake Superior. It just seems like the perfect setting to tell these stories. So we're not sure it'll be up.
But I noticed there was one little placard that said, look out this window and you can see X. I forget what X was, but it was...
Yeah, well, it's kind of a key story, the story of the wreck of the Stranger.
Okay.
The Stranger wrecked in 1875, and it was really the inspiration for the development of the Grand Marais Harbor. They were trying to come into the harbor as we know it. It was a bay then, so the West Bay, and got blown back out and then tried to circle around the point and come in then to the East Bay to get out of the storm and hit the reef. If you've been to the east end of the point, you know that there's a reef right there and you can see it out of our window. So we pointed that out, but they hit that reef and it looked like maybe they were doing okay, and then suddenly they just started to float off, and so all were lost. But again, there's another example. The people in town went out to try to rescue them and found themselves in danger, but did make it back again.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. And that was the impetus for the harbor?
Right. Shortly after that, things started to develop and a safe harbor was developed.
And then the lighthouse went in the late
1800s? 1885.
Okay. Huh, that's great. I'm just watching your eyes light up talking about this. What was the most fun part of putting this together for you?
Oh, wow. I'm not sure. There were so many fun parts. We learned a lot. We created some fun, interesting, I don't want to call them art pieces, but they become kind of art pieces, beautiful photography that MJ Humphrey did of a frozen lighthouse, and we sort of doctored it a little bit and made this dramatic big acrylic piece that's just really cool to look at. Yeah, the audio video pieces were pretty fun to work on.
Mm-hmm. I also, I really admired the cleverness of the wheel on the wall and how you can turn it and learn about the different kinds of boats.
Isn't that something?
That's really great.
Yeah, so we got a grant through Coastal Zone for this project, and the two of our big focuses were to have interactives, two major interactives in the exhibit. And so that's one of our interactives, this wheel that you can put your hands on and turn and learn about the different types of boats that were on Lake Superior. Of course, the audio, video, multimedia piece. And then we've created things that we like to call interactives. We created a newspaper that you can actually sit down on the dock and read.
I saw that with a little fish box next to it.
That's right. A different kind of interactive. We figure kids are always touching the screens, but maybe they'd sit and read a newspaper.
You can only hope, right?
Right.
Well, Carrie, tell folks what the hours and days are that they can visit this.
We're open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay. And anything else you want people to know or you'd like to add?
I'll just mention that we will be at Bali Blacksmith Shop tomorrow from 10 to 2, looking for interviews, asking people to come and share their stories about the Bali family or work they've had done at the shop, anything you want to share.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for coming in tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
I hope folks will make a point to get out and see it because it is really a wonderful exhibit.
Please do. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.